This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Thousands of soldiers from the 82nd Airborne are taking part in what the military is calling the last major combat offensive of the Afghan war. Their mission? Clear Ghazni province in eastern Afghanistan, a Taliban stronghold. It's a key prize because it straddles both the main road to Kabul and insurgent supply routes into Pakistan. NPR's Tom Bowman has this report from Ghazni.
The first casualty happened before the mission even started. An Afghan army soldier, his name is Burhan Mudin, was standing watch at his combat outpost. A Taliban gunman slipped out of a crowd and opened fire. A single bullet pierced the Afghan soldier's chest.
Taliban?
Three Afghan soldiers rushed him to a nearby American base, then struggled to carry him into a medical station. Doctors and nurses worked furiously, but couldn't save him.
And now he's dead.
Burhan Mudin was just 25. His body was carefully wrapped in a white sheet and placed in an ambulance. His fellow soldiers embraced the Americans and wept. Hours later, in the dead of night, some of these same soldiers were ready for the mission, an assault along with the Americans on a village in Ghazni province. It's a Taliban stronghold called Baji Kale, just 10 minutes away by helicopter. A long line of soldiers from the ANA, or Afghan National Army, comes bobbing along in the pitch black. The occasional flashlight illuminates their dark eyes and bearded faces. They're eager to avenge their friend.
If I get any bad guy over there, I will kill him, because they killed one of our guys.
But it's about more than revenge. Why this mission in this place? Because the Taliban holds sway in Ghazni province. They've killed dozens of Afghan troops. They lob mortars and rockets into the small American outposts. They intimidate the people in villages like Baji Kale. Just before getting on his helicopter for that night mission, Captain Jared Lopinter, Delta Company's commander, stood in front of a map and described the challenge posed by the Taliban.
They're coming from Pakistan in the Patika province with their men, weapons, and equipment across the pass. There's a lot of safe havens in here that they're using to stage and move their logistical supplies north and south.
North to Kabul and south to Kandahar along Highway 1, the country's only main road. That's why Ghazni is so important. It straddles the Taliban supply lines. But when the Americans sent thousands more troops to Afghanistan, they didn't come here. Until now. Before the Americans arrived, just a couple of months ago, security was handled by a Polish brigade. But the Poles, says Captain Lopinter, only served as something of a highway patrol.
Polish mostly, when they were here, stayed on Highway 1 and never really got off of Highway 1 into the villages at all. The villages haven't seen any type of ANA or U.S. forces in over 5 years. I mean, we went to one village out here and they thought we were Russians.
It's in these villages that the Taliban stockpile their weapons and bomb-making materials. Each time Captain Lopinter and his men head out, they're met with gunfire or come across roadside bombs. Seven soldiers from his brigade already have been killed. Many others have been wounded. And this night, they're expecting to go up against the Taliban again. Massive helicopters lift off in the darkness, stuffed with Delta Company's soldiers and their Afghan partners. Minutes later, they land in a field and pour out into the swirling dust.
Spread out, baby. Spread out. Spread out.
The soldiers regroup and for the next hour move quietly toward the village of Baji Kale.
3 miles. Okay, so we're picking up. I don't know.
Arriving just as the eastern sky begins to glow. The soldiers walk through the mud-walled village, single file on each side of the dirt road. Village men, most of them over 50, emerge from their compounds. They watch the intruders, standing and staring. The soldiers question some of the men. One of them talks about how the Taliban infiltrate the village. They slip in on motorcycles or come in at night in small groups, he says. They ask for food, a place to stay. They take over the mosque and broadcast a warning.
Whenever the Taliban are coming in here, in this village, they're calling in loudspeaker of the mosque. If anybody talk to the ANA guys or American guys, I can cut your head.
You're going to ask if they want to search this mosque.
Okay.
The mission continues. the soldiers fan out. The Americans instruct the Afghan soldiers to search a mosque. Only the Afghans are permitted to enter.
First Sergeant, you tracking what they found over there? They got RPGs and stuff in the mosque on the other side.
Nice.
RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades hidden in a wall, along with bomb-making components inside a coffin, and rifles and radios. It's all gathered together in a pile and destroyed with American explosives. Another cache is found and piled up. 14 hours later, the mission is over. There were no Taliban. Still, one Afghan sergeant, Inayat Halakayar, is pleased.
He said that we came during the night. It was so good. We found a lot of things, and we blew up 2-3 IEDs. That was so good. They are so happy.
It's been one more day in the war in Afghanistan. One village searched, one in a countless number spread across Ghazni province and the country. The Afghan and American soldiers head back to base under a blazing sun. There are no helicopters now. They'll trudge the 5 miles through fields and villages. They worry the Taliban is watching. Most patrols come under fire when they leave a village.
Love you guys.
But they make it back safely to their base. It's rimmed with razor wire, sandbagged walls, and guard towers. These soldiers from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, will spend another 4 months in this same routine. Go out on patrol, then head back to their outposts. But they don't have much time to clear this Taliban stronghold. The officer in charge is Colonel Mark Stock. He sits in his office in a long plywood building at a base called Warrior.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not going to be our success, it's going to be the Afghan success.
When he leaves in September, a smaller American combat unit will replace his soldiers, along with training teams to help the struggling Afghan forces.
What keeps me up at night is how we transition this. And part of that transition is us backing off, enabling our partners to do it without us and still be successful.
Across a dirt road from the colonel's headquarters sit the remains of an old British fort, its 20-foot walls worn like a sandcastle at the beach. The fortress dates back to the mid-19th century, another time when other English-speaking soldiers tried to make a difference in Afghanistan. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Ghazni Province, Afghanistan.